Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
What do we know about Donald Trump's foreign policy? Precious little. The president-elect says he got calls from every major world leader since last Tuesday, and that's to be expected. Since the Second World War, the U.S. has been both a keeper and defender of the international order. But is the Trump administration a step back from that keeper and defender of international order role? Ajit Hirsch says it is. He's a senior editor at The New Republic. He believes President-elect Trump will usher in a new period of world disorder.
It's true that there's already a lot of disorder and that America has a hard time policing it. I think it's also the case that America has alliances and that these are, you know, sort of undergird by treaties and by agreements. And I think that's what Trump wants to do away with. So I think that it has the real potential to take what is already kind of happening in the Middle East and spread it to Asia and Europe. Especially with, you know, the idea of making NATO a sort of pay-as-you-go enterprise and perhaps not necessarily supporting longstanding American policy of opposing Russian expansion there.
But hasn't Putin already forced NATO's hand in terms of what NATO's limitations are in moving eastward? And that Trump is simply saying, you know, we're done with this NATO expansion and we can't afford the NATO as it exists.
I'm not a fan of NATO expansion. I think it sort of has caused America a lot of difficulty. But I think that his conception of NATO is as a kind of protection racket. And that seems kind of like new, like to say, like, well, if you want to be defended, you pony up the dough. And I think that conception of foreign policy really does make America more like an imperial power and maybe even like a sort of mafia don rather than, you know, a nation that has a conception of trying to create a more peaceful and orderly world.
Well, it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. I mean, you're either, I mean, is it really that important? I mean, it sounds like an academic distinction, but whether you're a don, a queen, a president, or a guy named Donald Trump, you know, pay me and I'll keep the Chinese off your back. It sounds the same.
I don't know. I mean, I do actually think, I think there's a lot of problems with American foreign policy and the way it's been carried on. But it's also the case that, you know, under this sort of American protective umbrella, we've allowed liberal democracies to flourish in places like Western Europe and in parts of Asia, like Japan and South Korea. And it's a real question as to what happens if that protective umbrella is withdrawn.
Let's think about that, though. Who's more likely to be abandoned under the Trump New World Disorder? Is it the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, or is it Taiwan?
I'd say the Baltic states.
Really?
Well, yes. I think his interest in pursuing a sort of, you know, friendly relationship with Putin's Russia is a very serious part of his plank, I think, and his outlook on the world. And I think that the way he's talked about NATO, it's a real possibility.
What should the U.S. at all costs maintain? Its presence in South Korea, its defense of Taiwan, or its patrol of the Pacific as a counterbalance to China?
I would say defending South Korea is probably has sort of a priority.
So the others could kind of go by the wayside.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if it's like an either or thing. Like in some ways, you kind of need one to have the other, right?
Well, it's a chicken and egg question, if you ask me. I mean, the question is how much of this is driven by Trump and his ideas about protectionism, which I hear you aren't terribly sophisticated. But how much of this is just a recognition that some of this stuff is just kind of obsolete? We're not in a position to do what some of these treaties say anymore. And it's a question of who's going to call whose bluff. And I mean, I don't know. I'd rather not spend the money on thousands of aircraft carriers if we're just pretending to defend Taiwan. And I don't want to go to war over Taiwan. So, I mean, is this altogether a bad thing?
If you say you don't want to go to war over Taiwan, so what you're basically saying is you're okay with a world in which the Chinese government invades Taiwan, right? And so you're okay with a world in which a democracy gets extinguished. But the question, though, is like once you go down that road, you're going to have, you know, a much more cutthroat world. And in a world where like the level of uncertainty is much greater. I mean, also, this is would be like kind of like a raw territorial conquest. I don't know. I mean, like I feel like the sort of taboo or the idea that one nation shouldn't just be able to swallow up another is a very powerful presumption that we've tried to create since World War II.
Jeet Heer is a senior editor at The New Republic. Thanks so much.
Thank you.